And if you're visiting with us, we're glad you're here, and we want you to come back and be with us anytime you can. If there's anything we can do to help you or serve you, that's why we're here. Just let us know. Everyone has to have something to believe in. Would you agree with me? We all need something to believe in. We all need hope. But for hope to be real, it has to be based on something in reality, doesn't it? For hope to be real, it has to be something that is obtainable. There are a lot of things that we hope for when we're young, right? On your 16th birthday, you hope to wake up and see the brand new Porsche sitting in the driveway, right? You hope for that. Many kids hope to grow up and be professional basketball players or football players or baseball players. For me, I was always going to take over when Tom Brokaw retired off the evening news. But that didn't pan out either. But the problem with hopes like this is they're not really based in reality, right? They're not really based on something that we're able to obtain, most likely. But there are other things we can put our hope in, things that are obtainable. But sometimes those things take work, and they take blessings to accomplish. Last week, we started a sermon series on hope, and we looked at the fact that our hope is constantly under attack in this world. We looked at some of the promises that God made to Abraham, and Abraham left everything. He left everything behind because he had hope and faith in God, and he had hope and faith that God would follow through on the promises he made. In the book of Romans, Paul writes to those who are reading that for the first time and to us today, and he talks about the example of Abraham. And the gist of chapter 4 is that justification by faith, or being made right before God, those are things that have always been taught, even in the Old Testament. Paul writes in Romans 4, beginning at verse 16, "Therefore, the promise comes by faith, so that it may be by grace and be guaranteed to all Abraham's offspring, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who have the faith of Abraham. He is the father of us all. As it is written, 'I have made you a father of many nations.' He is our father in the sight of God in whom he believed, the God who gives life to the dead and calls into being the things that were not. Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed, and so became the father of many nations, just as it had been said to him, 'So your offspring be.'" We're told in verse 18, Abraham hoped against all hope that he would become the father of many nations. This hope is what sustained Abraham through his life, isn't it? This hope is what allowed him to keep having hope when it took God a long time to begin accomplishing what he said he would do. You see, this promise he made to Abraham that he would be the father of many nations didn't happen right away. In fact, his son wasn't born until 25 years after that promise was made, and it would take another 60 years for there to be the first grandchildren. As you live your life, as I live my life, how do we place our hope in God? How do we place our hope in his promises? God makes so many promises to us. He makes the promise that we can have eternal life, doesn't he? How do we place our hope in that? Sometimes it's a struggle, isn't it? I mean, after all, we can't physically go hang out at the mall with God walking beside of us, can we? We can't get a Facebook message from God or a text or a phone call. At least I haven't. Maybe you have. But I've not experienced that. When we follow God, sometimes it's not going to make a lot of sense from a human perspective, is it? Sometimes it's not going to follow human logic. And the reality is sometimes people aren't going to understand. Even people that we love dearly may not understand why we have hope in God. 1 Corinthians 1:18 tells us, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." Amen. Hoping against all hope. That means we still place our hope in God, even when our eyes may not give us a reason to do it. Even when the things around us may make us want to give up hope, we keep hoping, and our hope stays steadfast. We're hoping against hope because we believe God. But we have to have something to base that hope on. we can have hope, and we can hope against hope, because God's promises rest on His grace, not our perfection. Romans 4:16 says, "Therefore the promise comes by faith, so that it may be by grace and may be guaranteed to all Abraham's offspring, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who have the faith of Abraham. He is the father of us all." So here Paul's speaking on the issue of law versus grace. And in verses 13 and 15 through 15, the discussion here deals with the fact that Abraham's promises were realized through faith, not because of the law, but through faith. Abraham could place his hope in God, because whether or not God would fulfill his promise didn't depend on whether or not Abraham could be perfect, right? God's promises rest on who he is and his grace, not on what we do or don't do. If we could be innocent on our own, then there would be no reason for God to be gracious. But we know we serve a gracious God. Amen. We talked about that in the adult class this morning. Ephesians 2:8 and 9 reminds us, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." The Old Testament Jew was in a bad way because for them to have salvation, they'd have to be perfect 100% of the time, right? In other words, they wouldn't need their sins forgiven because they shouldn't sin. It was easy to see why the religious leaders took the Ten Commandments and made over 700 other laws, right? They were trying to help the people not sin. Abraham was promised he would be the father of many nations. He was promised this world would be blessed through him. And boy, was it ever. He was promised that his descendants would number what? Stars in the sky. You ever looked up at the night sky on a clear night and see all the stars? And think about how many stars you can't see. Your descendants will be as numerous as the stars in the sky. For Abraham, this was a great promise. And when God asked him to leave his homeland, what did he do? He went. Knowing he would have to leave it all and lose everything. Can you imagine leaving everything behind and not going back? Can you imagine leaving? For Abraham, from a human perspective, this wouldn't make a lot of sense, would it? He would lose his honor, his esteem, his homeland, torn away from his friends and extended family. But Abraham trusted God. Abraham was justified before God, not because of his perfection, but because of his obedience. Romans 4, 2, and 3, if in fact Abraham was justified by works, he had something to boast about, but not before God. What does Scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. God's promises were based in his grace, not man's perfection. It was his faith that pleased God. The promise of God was not based on man's perfection, but God's grace. Since we will never be sinless, church, the only way we can enjoy God's promises is through his grace. Verse 16 reminds us, that's why it depends on our faith, and the promise of God can rest on that grace. You know, Abraham kept on. He was told he would be the father of many nations, and it would take 25 years for the first child, 60 years before the first grandchild. But because of Abraham's hope, and because he remained steadfast, we get to enjoy God's promises. And if God's promise was based on our perfection, then only very small children could be in God's kingdom, right? This is a great promise. It's a promise that's guaranteed to all people who have the same hope and faith that Abraham had. It's a faith that believes Jesus, that loves God to the point of wanting to be obedient to him. And where we fall short, God's grace covers. Amen. Aren't you thankful for that? Does anybody in here ever fall short? All the time, right? Both hands, both feet if I could. We fall short. God's promises don't rest on whether or not we're going to be perfect, because guess what? We're not. We strive for that. Hopefully we get better with time, but we're still going to falter. His promises rest on his grace, and the only question is, will we be obedient and do our best? That's what it's about, church. Thank God His grace covers us. We can hope against hope, not because of our perfection, but because of God's grace. And we can hope against hope because God can and does the impossible. Romans 4:17, as it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. He is our Father in the sight of God in whom He believed, the God who gives life to the dead and calls into being things that were not. You're 75 years old. Your wife is 65 years old. You have no children. And God tells you, you're going to have all these descendants. If you're Abraham and Sarah, wouldn't you figure God would get started with this right away? But He didn't. In fact, God waited 25 years until Sarah was 90 before He began the process of fulfilling this promise and populating the earth with Abraham's descendants. Genesis 17:5 says, no longer will you be called Abram. Your name will be Abraham. I have made you a father of many nations. You know, Abraham stood faithfully in hope before God. We read this in Genesis 12:15-17:22. God speaks to Abraham. And Abraham's hope was not hopeless because he served a God who does the impossible. Think about that. This verse Paul writes in Romans says, God gives life to the dead. Now, he could be speaking of the womb of Sarah at 90 years old, but also realize God gives spiritual life to those who are spiritually dead through Jesus. That's the promise of God. 1 Corinthians 15:22, for as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. God makes us alive in Christ. Paul also alludes to the fact that God calls into existence things that do not exist. I love that. Calls into existence the things that don't exist. Can anyone do that? Don't you wish you could? You know, chips and salsa, and it appeared. That'd be nice, wouldn't it? Especially right now. But everything you see, everything you know, God spoke that into existence. His very voice created the earth and the heavens and everything we know. And if God can make something out of nothing by speaking it, then is it so strange that we would put our hope in Him? Is it so weird that we would rely on a being that can do that? The world would tell us it is, but we know it's truth. For the Christian, where else would you put your hope? You know, no matter what your situation is this morning, when you're a Christian, God is with you. He's there. We can't always get what we want. Who said that? The Stones, right? Mick Jagger, right? And the Stones. You can't always get what you want, but if you try sometimes, you'll get what you need, right? We don't always get what we want when it comes to outcomes, do we? Does everybody always get the outcome you want? No, I'm not on the evening news, right? I don't have the Porsche. We don't always get what we want. But you know what? Here's a promise. When you're a Christian, no matter what you're going through, God will always do what is spiritually best for you. Think about that. Even if everything in this world ends terribly, and sometimes it does, God will always do what is spiritually best for you. Because when you're a child of God, you've got a home in heaven. And that's all that matters. We can hope against hope because we serve a God who can and does the impossible. We also can hope against hope because of who God is. God is the basis for our hope. What better place can you place your hope than in Him? You know, Abraham knew that God was a God who gave life to the dead. He was a God who calls into existence the things that didn't exist. And because of that, he grounded his faith in God and the promise God made to him. He knew God. Even though it was a struggle, he was human, but he knew God was all powerful and all loving and all knowing. And contrary to all of our human expectations about hope, Abraham in hope believed against hope. In other words, given the timing and the content of this promise, human logic would tell you it would be crazy for Abraham to believe God was going to do what he said he was going to do. But you know what? God defies human logic, doesn't he? You know, when we sit down and we try to think with our minds, our human minds, about God, we don't have all the answers, and we never will. And that can frustrate us sometimes. It can even make us waver in our faith. But you know what it should do and what it can do is it can give us freedom, knowing God's in control. And our job is to trust him. Our job is to trust him. Abraham didn't have hope in what man could do. Abraham had hope in what God could do. So the question for all of us here today, what are you dealing with this morning? You know, some of us might be on cloud nine. Things are great. For others of us, we might be dealing with deep struggles. Maybe people know about our struggles. Maybe we've told nobody. What are you dealing with today? The next question is, where are you placing your hope? Are you placing your hope in the things of this world? We do that sometimes. Are you placing your hope in other people that you know and trust? Are you placing your hope in your finances or in your stuff or your job? Are you placing your hope in your government and things of this earth? Or are you placing your hope in the one who does the impossible? You see, hope placed in God is the only thing that'll bring you through what you're dealing with. Hope placed in God will bring you through what you're dealing with one way or the other. Maybe it turns out great here, and praise God if it does. Maybe it doesn't, but praise God, you're home. One way or the other, the hope you place in God is what will bring you through whatever it is you're struggling with this morning. Our God doesn't lie. God keeps his promises. And the key to having this hope that sustains us, this hope Abraham had, is to know God well enough that we can trust him, even when we don't know the end game. Because more often than not, we don't. God will keep every promise he makes. My prayer for us this morning and our challenge this week, don't let your hope be misplaced. You want to have good thoughts about things on this earth. You have hope in people and that things will turn out well. But place your hope in God. Our God is faithful, and he is strong, and he does not lie. His promises are rock solid. We talked about that last week. So where's your hope? Are you hoping for the impossible? You know, only God can do what's impossible. Because he's God, he actually gets to determine what is possible, right? What looks bleak in our eyes sometimes, where we think there's no answer or no way it can work out, God can accomplish it. But you know what? He accomplishes it in his time and in his way. And our job's to trust him. Do that in your struggle today. It's hard, church. Pray for the strength to be able to do that. Pray for the strength to be able to trust God even though things are not good. And pray for the strength to remember these promises that he gives us. He is a God who does the impossible. He brings life from death. He calls into existence things which were not there. That's the God you serve. A man named Tyler showed up at a Michigan church early one Sunday morning, and he asked if he could see the preacher. So the preacher walked up to him and he said, "Preacher, my name is Tyler, and I am looking for a way back to Canada. You see, I'm a drug addict. I've lost everything. My friends and my family turned on me," he said. "A friend of mine who was in recovery invited me to come to church with him a while back, and I became a Christian. Only by God's grace did I get clean. It was a struggle, and I faltered several times, but eventually I became clean." But you see, Tyler had burned every bridge in his hometown. Nobody there would trust him. Nobody there believed that he'd accomplished getting clean. So Tyler said, "You know what? I decided I would go to America and I'm a carpenter by trade, so I would go to America, I would pass a drug test, and I would get a job as a carpenter. But he said, "Preacher, things here in America just haven't worked out for me. I haven't been able to find a job, and I heard of an opportunity in Canada a few miles from where I grew up, and I need to get back to Canada. Anything you can do, anything this church can do to help me get there would be appreciated." Well, the preacher was skeptical. Unfortunately, many times as people of faith, we're skeptical. God help us with that. But he told Tyler, "You know, Tyler, I live 30 minutes from the Canadian border. And if you stay here for church this morning, I'll let you ride home with me. It's not much, but it'll get you a little closer to where you're going." Tyler said, "Thank you, preacher. I appreciate that." And so Tyler stayed for church. He rode home with the preacher, and he told the preacher his life story. And as they drove, and he told the preacher about how he struggled before he became a Christian. You see, he'd grown up being bounced around from one house to the next with various family members, and many of them weren't good influences, and he'd found drugs, and he'd gotten in with the wrong crowd, and he fell into that trap. But when he became a Christian, he said, "Things changed. You see, I struggled before I became a Christian. And now that I'm a Christian, I still struggle," he told the preacher. "I struggle every day. But now I have God. Now I'm saved by Jesus. Life is hard," he said. "I'm tempted every day to relapse. But I pray. And I read my Bible." And he showed the preacher his Bible that was all tattered and worn. And in that Bible he had marked Jeremiah 29:11, which is what Austin read for us. It says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." "This is where I place my hope," Tyler said. The preacher had a change of heart as he was driving. So he took Tyler and he got him some food. And he took him, instead of driving him to his house, he drove him to the bus station. He bought him a ticket to get home to the town in Canada where he wanted to go. And Tyler left on that bus to go get his job. It would be the easiest thing in the world to imagine a scenario where Tyler ends up back with the drugs and the lies and the unemployment, wouldn't it? It would be very easy to imagine that Tyler never made it to that town in Canada because he got off at the next stop. A lot of things from Tyler's story, from his upbringing to the choices he'd made to his relapses, right down to his present unemployment situation, those things would lead us to believe hope is not possible, right? It's where our minds go. But Tyler had hope. He believed that the promise God made to Jeremiah was the same promise God had made to him. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. He believed that. He believed that he could fend off the devil and he could break the chains from addiction. He believed because of God, he had hope and a future. After all, why wouldn't he believe this? Isn't this how God works? Isn't this what God does? Time after time in Scripture, we see story after story of hope coming out of hopeless situations, don't we? We see God doing things in the lives of people that we would have thrown away years ago. We see God doing the impossible because that's who God is. What's the point? Never lose hope. Hope in God. And what you're going through this morning, whatever it is, God will do the same in your life too. Remember Jeremiah 29:11. "For I know," God says, "I know the plans I have for you. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." Put your hope in Him. Put your trust in God. That is the same for all of us. Whether we've struggled with addiction or whether we've not, we're all sinners. We've all fallen short. And God says, "I have plans for you. And they're plans to prosper you, not to harm you. They're plans to give you hope and a future." Do you have hope this morning? If you're a Christian, you have hope. If you're not, you don't have hope. But you can leave here today with hope. You can leave here today a baptized believer in Jesus where your sins are washed away. You can leave here today knowing you have a home in heaven. And if you're here and you are a Christian, but you're struggling, maybe you're struggling with a whole list of things. We all do. If you want the prayers of the church, we're here for you. If you want to respond right there in your seat between you and God, do that. The point is, God gives us a chance to be new every day. Take that opportunity and let Him renew your hope. If you're here today and you have a need, we want you to come now as we stand and sing.